Blog Talk Radio.
Father's Day shopping can be tough because dads can have such different tastes. But Levi's and Kohl's have got you covered. We're offering a special Father's Day price on Levi's 505 Regular, the original zip-fly jean that's styled for every dad. The Levi's 505 Regular offers classic straight-leg style and all-around comfort that makes for a gift he's sure to love. And it's on sale now at Kohl's for just $36.99. Visit your nearest Kohl's or Kohl's.com to get him a Father's Day favorite he can wear all year long.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. I tell you, it's been a blessed day again. Every day is a blessed day because our Lord and Savior has made this day to be a blessed day. And I tell you, sometimes we may not think it to be, but you can rest assured that it is a blessed day. I need to talk to you about something a little bit. I have a special guest in studio today, and she is a sister in Christ of mine, and we have known, it seems as though we've known each other for a long, long, long time. But she is my special guest today on this broadcast, and she is going to bring us the richness of a lesson today, I tell you. And the name of this lesson is Know Your Position. And my special guest is Minister Carol McCray. And this lesson should impact your life. It should make you look at the man or the woman in the mirror. And it is our desire to bring brothers and sisters into their calling, knowing their position and standing on their position or in their position. And Minister Carol is going to focus on this particular area of the body of Christ. Know your position. But I just want to talk with you a little bit concerning your status. Does your social status or position define who you are? That's the question. Does your social status or position define who you are? Listen, today's times seem to place great weight on public status, public opinion, and public attitude. These things should not be determining factors that shape or mold your character. According to Romans 8, 5, 6, and verse 8, it says this: for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So Minister Carol McCray will focus on Know Your Position as a member of the body of Christ. So, Minister Carol, if you could just give us a little bit about yourself, and then we are going to just get right into the meat of your lesson, Know Your Position. So, welcome to the broadcast, Mission from the Heart, and I am super excited that you are here leading this lesson today. And I tell you, I hope you come ready, willing, and able to eat the richness of God's word. But Minister Carol, if you could give us a little bit about yourself so that those who are listening will just know your heart.
Okay. Thank you. I'm a minister. I'm a mother. I'm a child of God, first of all. I'm a child of God. I love God. I wish that everybody would be connected with him. That is my goal, to try to get as many people connected with God so that they know that they can make it in this life through what's going on. I'm a minister at my church, Miracles by Faith, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I'm on the ministerial staff. I have children and grandchildren, and I just love serving God, and I love spreading his word. Mm-hmm. And that's me. You see me, I'm usually just trying to see what I can do to help. I'm a helper. I'm a server. Mm-hmm. God says serve, and I'm a server. And so that's who I am. So if you, wonder.
I guess we could say that is just one of your positions, huh? Knowing your position, and that is
yeah.
a good position to have.
That's a good position.
A server. Amen.
Yes,
a servant's heart.
Amen.
So go right ahead. So finish telling us a little bit about how you came to know Christ.
I've been in the church since I was a child. My mom and dad, I'm the seventh child of 10 children. And my mom we were always a part of the church. And I can't remember not being a part of the church. And to this day, if I miss a service, I sit at home and I can tell you what's going on at that time, because my heart is to be there, you know, through whatever I've been through. I know that going to church really connects me. If I'm having a good day, if I'm having a bad day, I know I got to get to church, because that's the hospital that I need to go to for my spiritual healing. It gives
Amen.
Me a good connection, you know. So I'm always, everybody knows, Sunday and Wednesday, that's going to church. Got to get there.
Amen.
Got to be
Amen.
In the presence. Because he says, forsaking not the assembly, and I do my best not to forsake the assembly of the believers and of those who love him, you know,
Amen.
And give him his praise, because we need that.
Yes.
That's a refill. We need a refill, you know. And this here opportunity, it gives me another day to get an extra refill of what I'm going through, you know.
Amen.
In any time, you know, whether you're doing it yourself, reading the word, or you're getting the word given to you or expounded for you, you know, it's
mm-hmm.
just, it just helps you make it through the day. It helps
Amen.
You.
And that is so true. That is so true. I tell you, I'm so grateful, and thank you for your obedience to the call of God in blessing us with not only your presence on this broadcast, but the word of God. Know your position. So let's just get started. I'm ready. I'm hungry, and I'm excited about just hearing what God has to tell me through you. So I believe that others who are listening to this broadcast, I believe that they're ready to do the same thing. So, Minister Carol, let's get started.
Okay, well, let me have a brief prayer. Heavenly Father,
Amen.
I ask that you sit me down and you take control of this message, Lord, and I ask that you touch your people and let a good seed be planted and let it be fertile ground, Lord, and just let this word go forth. And let it reach where it needs to be reached, and let it touch, and let what you have me to say come forth, and I will sit down and give you full control. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. Coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to do verse 12. When you get a chance, read the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The whole chapter is awesome, but tonight I'm starting with verse 12. So that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Could you read it for me, Ms. Carnita?
Sure. It reads this way, verse 12. The body is a unit. And this is in the NIV translation. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. 12, verse 12.
All right. So it tells you we are one body. And that's my first point. We're one body. There are many members. That means many parts. Some are teachers. Some are preachers. There are so many parts in the body, just like there are thumbs, there are toes, there are arms, but it works together. We are one body in Christ. We're supposed to be unified. That means unity, working together. Whatever your position is in the body of Christ, you should work with all the other positions. You should not have any problem struggling. If your pastor requests of you to do something, if you're a doorkeeper, if you're a choir member, if you're a deacon, if you're a deaconess, you should strive to do what the pastor requests of you, because the idea is to draw people in, to show them love and work together in unity. My person that I choose as to show, my theme person is David. David worked in unity. When David first came on the scene, he was a shepherd protecting the sheep. And he did that, and he did it proudly. He did not get upset because that's all he had to do was watch sheep. He proudly watched the sheep, and he protected them. If you look back in Genesis, it tells you, I'm sorry, it wasn't Genesis, it's Samuel, excuse me. In Samuel, when they talk about what David did, killed the lion, he killed the bear to protect the sheep. And God saw how proud and how good he did his job. And God was glad that he knew his position at the time. And he worked, his daddy put him out there. He didn't argue with his daddy. He protected the sheep. He fed the sheep. He led the sheep. Although in his heart, he probably wanted to be a fighter like his brothers. But his daddy told him to guard the sheep. David said, okay. And he went and did it with no problem. He was unified in doing it. He did it with peace, and he did it proudly. He was one body with his dad. He didn't argue. He didn't fight. He knew his position at the time, and that was to be a sheep herder. Whatever your position is, don't get upset because it may not be what you want. But if that's where you are at this time, be the best, as David was. He was the best. He did not let one sheep get hurt. He didn't have to fight the lion. He didn't have to fight the bear or kill him. He could have took off and said, okay, if he get one sheep, he's going to go. But due to his and his love of his job and his obedience, he protected the sheep. He knew his position at the time, and in his unity of doing what his father told him to do, he was a good sheep herder. He loved the sheep. He protected them. He did not fight against what his father said. So when you get in position and you know your position at the time, you do it without a fight. If your hand decided it didn't want to wave and you had to force your hand to wave, how are you going to praise God? That's not unity in your body. You got to have unity. You got to work together. Thinking of your body and how your body works. If your knee didn't want to bend, could you sit down? You'd have to lay down with the leg straight, and you're still going to be a problem getting down and getting back up. So just like you don't want your body to fight against you, God doesn't want his body of Christ to fight against each other. He wanted them to have unity. He wants us to have unity. That's why he said we're one body with many members. What your member is, I don't know. You have to talk to God. And whatever your position is, be the best in your position. Because once you're good in your position, God will proudly, he will be proud of you, and he will be willing. You never know when. You may get elevated. God may elevate you. You don't know when that may happen, you know. You don't know why. You just got to work together, and we got to be unified when it comes to knowing your position in the body of Christ. after David knew that and he knew his position, he was good, God said, he sent the priest to tell his father, one of your sons are going to be king. David didn't know. Jesse didn't know. The priest didn't know who it was. But God knew. And when God said that, Jesse thought about his good sons, the warriors, the big, fine, strapping young men. That's who Jesse wanted to put as king. But see, when God picks you, it's not what man say, it's what God say. So in 1 Samuel, Ms. Carnita?
First Samuel 16.
See, go, and I may not say it, but you go read on it, 1 Samuel 16. They went looking for the king, the next king. The oil wouldn't flow for the wrong person. So if the oil doesn't flow for you, that's not your position. No, if God doesn't let the oil run down on you, that's not your position. If you're in something and you're not being, you're not blessing people, pray to God and ask him, is this the right position for you? That'll help you to have the unity so you'll know your position. If you don't feel comfortable, talk to God. Talk to your pastor and pray with him and pray to God so that you can get in the correct position so that there will be peace. There will be unity in the body of Christ. You know, also, you got to work together. Working together. When the body works together, you know, when your body aches, you limp around. You know, you got a headache, you can't think straight, or you hit your big toe, then your pain is all on that one toe. The body not working together. It's stuck on one thing. That's why if you're not unified and you're fighting, you can't work together. You're pulling apart, then it's going in separate ways. You can't do that. You got to work together. You got to work together. David, he went there when they got through trying to pull the oil on the other guys, and they said, well, yeah, I got another son. He said, I got David, but Daddy said, I don't think it's David. It can't be David. He's just a little bitty thing. But that's my last son. Let's get him in here. And when David got there, the oil ran down. The oil flowed on him. And that was confirmation. This is the next king that God wants to come. We didn't see it. The daddy didn't see it. The brothers didn't see it. But God knew his heart. God knew how well he was in that position and how well he worked together, how well he obeyed what God asked of him to do. You know, he worked in harmony. We can also look at another person in the Bible who worked together when God told him to do something. We can look at Noah. Noah was told by God, build a boat. God gave him specific directions on what to do. Noah at first wondered, but when he realized that he had to do what God said do, and he was truly a man after God's heart as well, okay, I got what you say, God. And that's in Genesis where?
Genesis 6, chapter 6, verse 11 through 16.
God gave it to him, and he didn't fight with God. It took him a minute, and he prayed, and he heard it was really God. He wanted to make sure it was God. See, sometimes we hear things, and we have to make sure it's God. And that's all Noah did. He wanted to make sure it was God. And once he was positive it was God, he went to work. He didn't fight. He went to work. His sons, they worked with him, and they did what God said do. Build this boat. We call the boat the ark. And everybody around thought that he was losing his mind. Why is he building this? We know we're near water. We dry. What are you talking about, this rain? But he was being obedient. He was listening. He was doing what God said to do. He was working together, working in harmony. He was working together in his position. He was not trying. He was being unified, and he was working in harmony. He was not trying to argue. He didn't try to fight. He didn't try to make it his thing. He started doing what God said do. And before you knew it, he had completed the work. And it was time. When he completed it, okay, God, I finished it. What's next? When God gives you a task and you're working for the body of Christ, I got it. What's next? Don't ever not think that there's not a next in your life. God keeps on giving us a next for a reason, because he wants to keep on letting people know, I'm still here. I'm still with you. Yeah, I got a next for you. You're doing good in this part. You was a good toe. Let's see what else we're going to do with you. What's next? Noah did what was next. Put the animals on there. Okay. And they were still saying, something wrong with Noah. How? What is he doing? They were saying, man, he taking two of this and two of that. Imagine if you saw somebody make a big boat on dry land. What would you think? If you wasn't connected with God, but if you're connected with God, he say God told him, oh, well, okay, let me see what I can do to help him. You're going to try to help him and work with him. As a Christian, when you see another Christian doing something and you realize that it's something God said do, it's okay to go and join in and see what you can do to help make it work better, to help make it more prosperous, to have the harmony in the unity, so that if someone's doing something for the church, be it a cook-off, a garage sale, or a fashion show, don't fight against it. Work with them, because whatever it takes to draw the people in, we're trying to let them know that God is the author and the finisher of our faith and our lives. Got to be one body, knowing your position, working together and in unity. And when you work together and you're in unity, God start looking and say, well, wait a minute. It's time for an elevation. You see, and he will elevate you. In Noah's case, he helped him seal the ark, and he saved him and his family as God did what he had to do. In David's case, he made him the next king. And see, when David got there and he heard that Goliath was out there putting down our God, David was still in his being who he was. He loved God, so he was mad at them for letting this big old giant talk about God and say, why y'all not stopping him? And they kept saying, man, that's a giant out there. Do you see how big he is? But David didn't care. David says, my God, this is our God he's talking about. Don't let him blaspheme against our God. He was ready to run out there. And they stopped him. They tried to put their arm on him, but that wasn't what David worked with. David couldn't. He could have tried to go out there in the king in Saul's armor, but it wouldn't have worked. Took it off. He said, I got to do what I do. God showed him how to work a slingshot and a rock. A slingshot and a rock. So you know when David went out there, Goliath probably looked at this little thing and said, ain't nothing going to happen. But because of God blessing him, he took that one rock and he knocked down the giant. That was part of his elevation, gave him the power and authority to go over this giant and defeat him. So when you working together, you know your position, you are in unity, and you're in harmony, God will elevate you to defeat your giants. We have another person in the Bible, Moses. Moses was supposed to have been killed. When he was a little baby, the king, the Pharaoh, was killing all the little babies because he heard that they say there's somebody going to come and free these children from Israel. Wait a minute. So all the boy child, I want them killed. You see, he thought he was going to stop what God had in store. Moses' mama put him in a little boat and sent him down the river. And where did Moses end up at? In the Pharaoh's house. Right at the enemy. Right there where the enemy who was trying to destroy him. He was brought up right there. He saw all of that. God protected him and let him grow up in there because God knew he had to do what he had to do. See, God is going to protect you. You may have a struggle. You may have some issues because Moses had a stuttering problem. He didn't think he could do it, but God knew what was in him. God says in Jeremiah, I know the plan I have for you. So, knowing your position in Christ, be it thumb, a toe, a hand, an arm, an elbow, a hip, a thigh, whatever position you have, you got to work together. You got to be in harmony. You need to be in unity because God sees this. But you got to stay in connection with him. That's what keeps you in harmony. That's what keeps you in unity. And that's when he doesn't mind giving us elevation. Because God is an awesome God. God knows our credential. God knows our capability. God knows that every man, every woman, every child, he knew about us in our mother's womb. He knew what's in us. But we have free will. He's not going to make us. He requested of us, but we have free will. And in your free will, you should be willing to work together with the rest of the body. You should be willing to work in harmony, in unity. And you'd be so surprised at your elevation, which is prosperity. And the prosperity is having peace in knowing that whatever you go through, God is going to help you. God is with you. Even at your worst day, on your worst day, God is with you. God is not going to leave you. His children, he is the best daddy in the world. He will never, ever leave you or forsake you. So when you learn what your position is, get in position. Be the best, whatever it is, usher. If you intercess a prayer, pray for the people. Do it with what you have. It doesn't matter if you think you're stuttering. God knows how to work it out. He knows how to lift you up when you show that you're willing to do whatever. You may start at the foot being a doorkeeper. He may elevate you to the deacon or the deaconess. And then he may even elevate you to the ministerial staff. It's not in our time. It's in God's time. So when you know your position and you know what God has for you to do, you have to listen to the word of God. That's what prayer is, such an awesome thing. That's why I say pray. We should pray daily. And when you have some questions about what your position is, God is sitting there waiting to tell you and help you out. God listens to our prayers. God is waiting on us to come to him. He is waiting on us to talk to him. He's waiting on us to be in position and know what we are to do. He is truly an awesome God because he took David from being a shepherd. David was such an awesome shepherd. He protected the sheep. So So why wouldn't God think that he would be a king willing to protect the people when it came time for battle? Because in his position as a shepherd, he protected those sheep. As God says in his word, he would leave the 99 to go find the one that was lost. David made sure he protected the 100 so that he didn't have to go find the one. So when he, in his position as a shepherd, was so awesome and so well about doing that, God says, can use him as the king of my people. It's not what it looks like. Because, see, you may not look like, think a child of God should look like, but God knows what's in you. See, David was a little bitty boy. Out of his brothers, he was the littlest. None of them thought that he would ever do anything but herd the sheep. But God knew how faithful he was in that position as a sheep herder. Wait a minute. He's not fighting with his daddy. When it come time for him to bring his brothers and them lunch, he stopped that and he took his brother's lunch. When it was time to go back and protect the sheep, he did that. He didn't fight. His brothers and dad was out at war front, and he was out there with the sheep. And when they say, David, they need something, David, being what he was in his position, got the food, well, where they at, where I got to take it to him, and he took it to him. He didn't argue. He was in unity. And that's what God saw. So when you look at your life as a Christian in the body of Christ, can God be well pleased with your unity, with what he's asked for you to do? Whether it's just to teach Sunday school or teach the children in children's church, are you giving it the best of your heart? Are you truly in position in the correct way? Are you working together? Are you in unity? Because, see, you got to work together. You got to be in harmony, unity. You got to, it's one body. We're working together, one body. We can't fight. We shouldn't fight. If you come against somebody and it seems like they're not as elevated as you are or mature in the Lord as you are, you can't beat it over the head. You got to pray for them. You got to ask God, what do I do next? But don't get out of your position. Don't you lose your harmony. Don't you lose your unity. You just know that you got to pray for them. And you got to ask God to give them the strength that they need. Because sometimes some people are in kindergarten. Some people are in middle school. Some people are in high school. Some people are in college when it comes to the body of Christ. So everybody is not at the same level. And everybody is not as connected in knowing that they have to love and how much unity is. So you can't let a newcomer ruffle your feathers in the body of Christ. You know, don't let them stomp on your toe and give you an aching toe and you want to take somewhere and you don't want to be a part. You are a part. You're a child of God. You see, Noah could have, throughout the, when God gave him the plans for this enormous obstacle, what we would call it, because if God gave you a plan to build a mansion from scratch, what would you do? Would you go and say, well, what I need? He didn't say, well, I don't have the money. I don't have this. I don't have that. He didn't do that. Noah listened to what God said. And he said, okay, God say do this. Let me get to work. And he worked on it. He did. He got the wood, got the nails, he got the everything. What God said he had to get, he went and got it. He didn't stop because he was working in his position. He was working in unity. He was listening to what God said. We're going to have naysayers. We're going to have people who taunt us. We're going to have people who laugh at us. You know, they laughed at Noah. They laughed at David when he went out to fight Goliath. You know, this little boy going to fight this giant. It ain't going to happen. See, our giants, we got to come up against. It people are going to tell you it ain't going to happen. But as a child of God, you're going up against a giant because of God, because of your belief in God. Guess what? Victory. Victory is yours. See, David went out. And the people, you know, his brothers, all them probably looked out there and they was trying to see, oh, Lord, our brother finna die. Because it was little David and big old giant Goliath. And the rest of Goliath's people, oh, we ain't got to do nothing. Look what they sent out there to fight him. They stood back and they probably laughed and said, oh, yeah, right. We don't have to go down there. He got this. Goliath is going to step on him like a bug. And Goliath stood there. See, when you come to the giant and the giant look down at you, the giant don't think you're going to defeat him. So when you have these giant problems, they don't think that you're going to overcome it when you're attacked. But if you're in position and you listen to what God tells you to do, see, and he was standing on what he believed in, do not let nobody put this guy down. So he, you know, got this slingshot, and he went to swing and whoosh, whoosh. So Goliath standing there right, okay, this little boy got this rock. I ain't got to do nothing. I'm going to just see. He figured the rock, oh, it ain't going to do nothing. But because David was already in position, when the rock was released, God was right with it. And it landed where it needed to land. And it took down that giant. You see, that was a part of David's elevation, to show the people it's not what it looks like. It's not what you think it is. Because when God is with you, you can knock down every giant that you come up against. Because, see, God is proud of his people who are in position, who are working together, who are working in harmony, who know that they are part of one body and they're trying their best. Sometimes we fall short, but you got to keep striving and keep trying your best to work together. God knows we have weaknesses. God knows we're human beings. God knows there's always a battle between the flesh and the spirit. So don't ever think that you're alone. Don't ever think that you won't have a giant. We all got Goliaths, be it in the family, at work, at school. The giants are going to keep on coming. But as a child of God, when you're in position, when you're working together, when you're doing what God requests of you, you will be elevated to defeat the giants. Moses, the stutterer, brought up in the palace of the man that wanted to kill him. Now, could you tell me how God really protected him? The Pharaoh, how hard would it have been for him to know that his daughter wasn't pregnant? How did she hide that? You couldn't hide it. So God made it so that the Pharaoh believed that this was his daughter's child. So God knew what he had in store for him. So God gonna protect you to put you in position. You may have a struggle, but God knows that you're going to get in position as long as you're following what he has for you to do. We look at Noah. We look at Moses. We look at David. These were men in the Bible who were following what they were told. They got in position. And there's one more that God has brought to my memories, Joseph. His brothers thought they was going to get rid of him because he had a dream. And he told them, y'all going to bow down to me. And because they were jealous. So see, your family can get jealous of you and try to stop you from doing what God has in store for you. But Joseph did not let go of what he had with God. He went from the pit to the palace. Through his struggle, he kept holding on to God. And in the end, they did have to bow down to him. So look at these stories and know these men in the Bible that God put before us to show us that what you're going through is nothing new. Your struggle is nothing new. Being looked down upon is nothing new. The giants are nothing new. I give you something big to do, that's nothing new. Know your position. Be willing to work together. Be willing to understand we're one body working together, being in harmony, being in unity, and understand that elevation will come when it's due time. It's not our time. It's all in God's time. God will bless, he will elevate, he will give you the blessings, the prosperity that you are in need of, because it's not what we want. We're all here to love God and to show people the love of God. We cannot fall out of position. We cannot let the giants make us run. We cannot let the obstacles of a big to-do make us stop. We cannot let our physical ailments stop us from doing what God has told us to do. We must be sure to know our position. We are one body. We're all one body working together to draw people in, to show them the love of God. Jesus, John 3:17, God sent him not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So if he didn't send Jesus to condemn the world, for the world to be saved, we got to keep showing the people that Jesus came to save the world. Get in position. Draw people to God. Know that your position is, whether you working on the door, singing in the choir, passing out the envelopes, being an armor bearer, being a deacon, a deaconess, taking care of the children in the nursery, the youth department, whatever God gives of you to be, even if you just, as they say, a bench member, be the best. Praise God on Sunday. Give God your praise. And if it's another position he has, maybe you're not sure. Talk to God. God's going to tell you. He's going to give you direction. He's sitting there listening. He's waiting on you to talk to him. He's never busy. His line is never busy. And as a child of God, you want to know your position. You want to stay in position so that God can be blessed. And when God is blessed and pleased with what you do, he will elevate you. He will lift you up. You know, you go from being a shepherd, can make it happen. God can bless you. See, we look at things, and it's not always financial blessings. Health is a good thing. Spiritual blessings come in many ways. So many people get stuck on finances. Peace of mind. Excuse me. There are rich people who don't have peace of mind. They don't have the love of God in their heart. So understand, God knows what we need. God knows where he wants us to be. You know, he wants us to be the one body that he is the head. And we are trying to work together to the best of our abilities because we want to lift him up. We want to draw all men unto him. We don't want to let ourselves shine. You see, David was not trying to shine David. David was upset because Goliath was putting God down. He wasn't worried about David because he just did what he had to do. Because you're not going to put his God down. He was not going to stand for that. So he, when nobody else would do it, he took the initiative to step forth. This is what I can do for my God. And that's what he did for his God. And he was already, God knew what he had in him. That was to show the rest of the world.
this when I picked him for king for a reason. This is why I picked him for king, you know, because when the oil ran, they was like, well, that David, are you sure? Could you imagine their face? This little boy, David, he the next thing? No, we want somebody big and, you know, give us a 6-foot athlete. That's a little shepherd. So, but the oil ran, so they couldn't doubt it because the oil ran. But God said, okay, y'all still got, I'm going to show y'all just how much I know he's the next one. And David was right in line with it because David didn't want nobody putting God down. So he was in position. And he stepped out on what he knew. And he knocked the giant down. So your giants are going to come. You may not use a slingshot. Because, see, I wouldn't have done nothing. I would have just been standing there. You give me a slingshot. What is your ability? What is your ability? What has God given you the ability to help bring down your giant? Everybody has their own ability to bring down their giants. God gives it to you. You can love them to death. Love covers a multitude of sin through love and kindness. So we may not have to get a slingshot right now, but we still got giants to come our way. So in your position in the body of Christ, know your position. Become one. Work together. We are all one body, and God is going to elevate us to prosperity. Prosperity comes in so many forms from our God. It's an awesome thing. We serve an awesome God who knows us better than we know ourselves, who knows it's when it's time for us to step out. And when you least expect it, and when you think you ain't ready and God know you're ready, get ready. He's going to make sure you step out. He's going to make sure you shine for him. It's not for you, it's for him. God and the finisher of our faith. God knows who we are and whose we are. As a child of God, once you give your life over to him, give it to him. Wait on that command. Wait on whatever he says for you to do. Pray. Be prosperous because God is so sweet. And, you know, it may seem difficult to you at a time, but once you start stepping out into what your position is and you start moving along and it's going to flow with you and you're gonna look back at, well, wait a minute, what was I saying it was hard for? That wasn't that hard. I did it. Because Noah looked at the boat when he got the plan and he looked at the length and the width and the height and the depth and the sections. And, wait a minute, God, you really want me to do all of this? And, wait a minute, I done put it down on paper, okay. Whew, that's a lot. That's a lot. Well, okay, let me get to work. And he went to work. So when God gives it to you, get to work. Get the nail from when you do the first nail, you're on your way. Take that first step, you're on your way. Say that first word, you're on your way. When you tell God, I'm ready for you to use me. I'm ready to do what part you want me to do in this body of Christ. Guess what? Ailment's going to come. People who are going to laugh at you are going to come. They're going to try to keep you from doing what you got to do. They're going to try to keep you from finishing the ark. They're going to try to keep you from freeing the children from Israel. They're going to try to keep you from getting rid of the giant. It's going to keep coming. But guess what? God knows what's in you. God sees you. God knows you better than you know yourself. God is and God will help you make it through as long as you keep your hand in his. Keep talking to him. Keep listening. Keep praying. Don't do microprayers. Don't do a microwave prayer. Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord. Unless, it's okay, but when you want God to tell you what to do, you got to talk to him, sit a minute, listen. Wait for him to answer, because he's going to answer. You sit there, he's going to answer, because he's so glad that you wait, that you're listening and you're asking him for some help. Oh, this is my child. Oh, they ready for me. They ready for me to tell them which way to go. Okay, I'm ready to show them. I knew he could do it. Because then, let me tell you something. You're going to be a Job. Because God told Satan, have you considered my servant Job? So don't think because God got your back that you ain't going to be attacked. See, God said that because he knew Job had it. He knew Job had it. He told Satan, have you considered my servant Job? So you may go through a Job experience with some things, but guess what? Don't give up. Don't get out of position. Don't become a fighter. Don't break the unity. Don't break the harmony. Because then you won't get elevated. You won't get the prosperity. It's going to come. It's going to come. The giants, the laughing friends, the aches, the pains, the stuttering, the disabilities. But guess what? God got you. God got your back. God is going to be with you. God will. Yes, he will be with you. You know. So, when we know our position, we know we're one body of Christ working together, and the prosperity will come, the elevation. You got to first give your life to Christ. You got to believe Jesus is the Son of God, who God raised from the dead. He went to the cross for our salvation. He went to the cross, our sin. He did that, something we couldn't do, something we have to believe, that Jesus is the Son of the one true God that was raised from the dead. We have to give ourselves to him. We have to ask him to come into our heart, to come into our life, to come in and take control so that we can be what we need to be in his body of Christ. Sister, you have something to say to help draw the people on in and let them know that God is.
Amen. I think this is a perfect resting spot for us to bind together and touch and agree that someone who may not know Jesus Christ in the pardoning of their sin, that they would come in and know him, that they would come into the ark of Jesus Christ, into the body of Christ, that they will sup with him. We could not do this broadcast assuming that every listener to this broadcast is saved. We can't assume. We have to open the door for them, that they would come into the ark, just as the animals were led into the ark, as Sister Carol explained. And we want you to be a part of the body of Christ, that
yeah.
you would be in harmony with Jesus, and that you would be prosperous eternally. So, Sister Carol, if you could go ahead and pray a prayer of salvation that would lead somebody who may be listening to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, I implore you to come together with us and pray for someone that you may know that is not saved or who has a desire to want to be saved. pray for them, lift them up in prayer, and we will just believe by faith that God will do with what he has done through David, with what he had done through each and every one of us who are believers in Christ Jesus. So, Carol,
yes,
if you could go ahead and pray a prayer of salvation.
Yes. Heavenly Father, we come first to say thank you, Lord. We thank you for your son, Lord, and we ask that you touch those who are seeking you and those who are lost, Lord. We ask that you touch their hearts, you touch their minds, and let them have an urgency to come forth and receive you as their Lord and Savior. Receive you and let the Holy Spirit come in and take control of their heart and come in and guide them to the position that you would have them to be, Lord. And we ask that you take over our minds and bodies and touch them and let them know Jesus is your son who went to the cross for us. We believe that. We receive that. And, Lord, we just say thank you. We thank you for saving us, and we thank you for sending your son to Calvary to save us because we were nothing but sinners. And, Lord, we just say thank you. And we ask that all of our family be drawn in and that those who have doubt in your mind, that they believe and they trust in you in the mighty name of Jesus. We say thank you. Amen.
Amen and amen. Brothers and sisters, I thank you for just touching and agreeing with us as we are the body of Christ, as we know that Jesus is the center of our lives, and we pray that you would get into a Bible-believing church, that you could be discipled and that you could be baptized and just let somebody know that you are a Christ follower. Tell them that Jesus lives. Tell them that you have been born again, and tell them that you are heaven-bound. So plant yourself in a Bible-believing church and be discipled in a Sunday school class or a small group Bible study, that you could grow and go in grace, that you will become one of those in the body of Christ that will preach and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So thank you
again,
my sister, for being such a blessing to lead us through the passages of stories through Noah, David, and Moses, and even Job. I tell you, you did such a beautiful job just bringing it to life, bringing it real and keeping it real, that we understand that we have a purpose and a plan, and we are called by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, just as
yes,
Moses was called, just as David was anointed, and just as Noah, he was trained to be the kind of man that he needed to be in order for the promise of God to continue to come forth. And we know that promise to be Jesus Christ, who died on that cross for our sins. So, you know, Minister Carol, I really appreciate your heart and your servant's heart to minister the word of God. And I pray that those who are listening today, that you get deep into your word, that you would be the instrument that God can elevate and take you to another level of ministry, because someone needs to hear Jesus through you. So don't sit soaking sour. Meaning, do not put the fire out that burns in your heart.
Yes.
Allow the
yes,
Holy Spirit to continue to be the fire that shoots up in your bones that will propel you to run and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's planting time. And Sister Carol
yes,
and I
ma'am,
talked about that. It is planting time, and the ground is fertile. So we must run this race and plant seeds of faith, plant seeds that grow, and that they would come to know him in the pardoning of their sins. So thank you again for being such a faithful listener to this broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio. Sister Carol, I thank you again and again, and I know you would be back bringing us another blessed lesson, another nugget, enrichment of our souls, so that we can continue to grow. And always remember that the grass, it withers, The flowers, they do fade away. But remember that the word of God remains forever and ever. God bless you and remain faithful in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and go and tell it on the mountain. Thank you again for your faithfulness.
Thank you.
And God bless.
There are just a few more weeks to play the Monopoly Collect to Win game at Randall's. Play now for your chance to win $1 million cash, a vacation home, and instant prizes and offers. Find out more at Randall's. Shop with a remarkable card and get Jennie-O lean ground turkey or patties. Buy one, get one free. And Lucerne large dozen eggs, just 99 cents each when you buy two or more. Limit four, please. Randall's, it's just better. See game rules at playmonopoly.us. Monopoly is a trademark of Hasbro and is used with permission. There are just a few more weeks to play the Monopoly Collect to Win game at Randall's. Play now for your chance to win $1 million cash, a vacation home, and instant prizes and offers. Find out more at Randall's. Shop with a remarkable card and get Jennie-O lean ground turkey or patties. Buy one, get one free. And Lucerne large dozen eggs, just 99 cents each when you buy two or more. Limit four, please. Randall's, it's just better. See game rules at playmonopoly.us. Monopoly is a trademark of Hasbro and is used with permission.